Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim Daf Dalad. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara discusses how certain people would talk according to the shevet that they had belonged to. There was one person that anytime he had business dealings with someone, he would tell them, Dunu Dini, judge my judgment, meaning, let's go to court. And he would only listen to what a judge would have to say. People said this man certainly comes from the tribe of Dan, of whom it states, Dan Yadina Amo Ke'achad Shivtei Yisrael. Dan will judge his nation like one of the Shevatim of the Jewish people. There was another person who always say, Akev Yama Asisni Bir Asa. If I was able to build palaces, I would build them by the shore. And he would always praise the shore. People searched into his genealogy and found that he descended from the Shevet of Zvun, of whom it says, Zvun Uchof Yamim Yishkon, Zvun will dwell by the seashore. Pointing to the Gemara asks, Nivduk Bashis, the search for Chametz should be done at the beginning of the sixth hour of the 14th of Nisan, which is right before it becomes forbidden at the beginning of the seventh hour. Why does the Bedikah for Chametz take place the night of the 14th? The Gemara suggests it's due to the rule of Zrizim Magdim L'mitzvos. People who have alacrity do mitzvahs as early as possible. But questions that answer being that this rule only means that one should do a mitzvah as far back as that morning, but not the night before. The Gemara shows this from the fact that Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah of Mila in the morning, but not the night before. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers that the nighttime is when everyone is home, and it's also a time that the candle works well for checking for chametz. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Hamaskir Bayis L'Chaver, if one rents out his house for Pesach, Bechezes Baduk, Umatsu She'enu Baduk, and there's a chazaka that the landlord had already done Bedika, and the renter found out that he did not. Is this called a Mechak Taos? Abai answered that it's not a Mechak Taos, and he explained that it certainly is not a Mechak Taos in a place where people do not hire workers to do Bedika, but rather they search for Chametz themselves. The Nichlei Le'ina Shukim Mitzvah Gufei, for it's axiomatic that a person is pleased to fulfill a mitzvah with his body. Rashi explains that even if he had known that the house was not searched, he would nevertheless have rented it. And even if this case happened in an area where people pay workers to check their house for chametz, and therefore the renter will have to pay money, he would still not have backed out the nichlei lina shekumi mitzvah b'moni for a person to have to fulfill a mitzvah with his possessions. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara discusses how certain people would talk according to the shevet that they belonged to. There was one person that any time he had business dealings with someone, he would tell them, Dunu Dini, judge my judgment, meaning let's go to court. And he would only listen to what a judge would have to say. People said that this man certainly comes from the tribe of Dan, who states, Dan Yadina Amo Ke'achad Shivtei Yisrael, Dan will judge his nation like one of the Shvatim of the Jewish people. There was another person who always say, Akev Yama Asisne Bi'irasa, if I was able to build palaces, I would build them by the shore, and he would always praise the shore. People searched into his genealogy and found that he descended from the Shevet of Zvun, of whom it says, Zvun Uchof Yamim Yishkon, Zvun will dwell by the seashore. Point number two, the Gemara asks, V'nivdok B'shis, the search for Chametz should be done at the beginning of the sixth hour of the 14th of Nisan, which is right before it becomes forbidden at the beginning of the seventh hour. Why does the search for Chametz take place the night of the 14th? The Gemara suggests that it's due to the rule of Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvahs. People with alacrity do mitzvahs as early as possible, but questions and answer, being that this rule only means that one should do a mitzvah as far back as that morning, but not the night before. The Gemara shows this from the fact that Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah of Mila in the morning, but not the night before. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answers that the nighttime is when everyone is home, and also it's a time that the candle works well for checking for chametz. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Hamaskir Bayis L'Chaver, if one rents out his house for Pesach, Bechezkas Baduk, V'matzu She'enu Baduk, and there's a chazaka that the landlord had already done Bedika, and the renter found out that he did not. Is this called a Mechak Taos? Abai answered that it's not a Mechak Taos, and explained that it certainly is not a Mechak Taos in a place where people do not hire workers to do Bedika, but rather they search for chametz themselves. For it's axiomatic that a person is pleased to fulfill a mitzvah with his body. Rashi explains that even if he had known that the house was not searched, he would nevertheless have rented it. And even if this case happened in an area where people pay workers to check their houses for chametz, and therefore the renter will have to pay money, he would still not have backed out. But a person is happy to fulfill a mitzvah with his possessions. All right, so now we go to our siman for daf dalet, and our standard siman is a dalet, is a door. So here goes. The man from Dun banging on the base din's door while his whole family was in the rented home, busy checking for chametz with their candles, wanted to hear what the din would say about the landlord, who didn't do a bedika. Once again, in slow motion. The man from Dun banging on the base din's door. Door, that must mean we're on daf dalet. The man from Dun banging on the base din's door, which reminds us that the Gemara discusses how certain people would talk according to the shevet that they had belonged to. So the man from Dun banging on the base din's door while his whole family was in their rented home busy checking for chametz with their candles, which reminds us that the reason for checking for chametz on the night of the 14th is not because Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvahs, For this rule only means that one should go back as far as that morning, like Avraham Avinu did with his milah. Rather, the reason is that the night of the 14th generally, when the whole family is home, and that candles work well for checking for chametz. So the man from Dun banging on the Beis Din's door, while his whole family was in the rented home, busy checking for chametz with their candles, wanted to hear what the Dayan would say about their landlord, who didn't do a bedikah. Which reminds us that if one rents a house and there's a chazaka that the landlord had done bedikah, and in fact he had not, it is not a mechik taos, as a person's happy to fulfill the mitzvah with his body and even with his possessions. So once again, the man from Dun banging on the Beis Din's door while his whole family was in the rented home, busy checking for chametz with their candles, wanted to hear what the Dayan would say about their landlord, who didn't do a bedikah. All right, now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Kufdalet. So the symbol for Kufdalet is code. So here goes. The Kohen who figured out the code, that must mean we're on Daf Kufdalet. The Kohen who figured out the code in the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bozki melcha gabi kevish bishvil shel yachliku. One may break up salt and scatter it on the ramp of the Mizbeach, so that the Kohanim do not slip on it when it's wet from the rain. Rav Acha bar Rava said to Rav Ashi, in what way was the salt scattered? Either mevatle kamosi v'abinyan. If the one who scatters it intends to abandon it there permanently, he's adding to the construction of the Mizbeach. And this is forbidden, as David HaMelech stated, HaKol b'ksav miyat Hashem ala hiskil. It, referring to the specifications within the base of Migdash, is all in writing as it was elucidated to me from the hand of Hashem. And if he doesn't intend to abandon the salt permanently, it will constitute a chetzitza between the feet of the Kohanim and the Mizbeach, which will invalidate the Avodah. After an initial answer is rejected, the Gemara explains that the salt was scattered b'halachas etzim l'maracha d'labavodihi, for the purpose of bringing wood up the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is not an Avodah. So the Kohen who figured out the code and the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach ran to a special door and knocked three times, which reminds us, Ula went to the home of Rav Menashe on Shabbos, and when someone knocked on the door, Ula said the person knocking should have his body desecrated because he was Machal Shabbos. He was of the opinion that it's forbidden to produce any type of sound on Shabbos, even of a non-musical nature. Rabbah said to Ula, Lo asu el kol shal shir. The Rabban did not ban every type of sound, only sounds of a musical nature. The Gemara brings several challenges to Rabbah's opinion, but each one is refuted. So the Kohen who figured out the code and the sprinkled salt on the ramp in the Mizbeach ran to a special door, knocked three times, and was handed a pair of wooden tongs to remove a dead sheretz from the base of Migdash. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, sheretz shenimsa b'migdash, if a sheretz was found in the base of Migdash, kohen motzil behemyanu shelo l'shalus esatuma, a kohen must remove it with his sash so as not to prolong the presence of tuma in the base of Migdash. Rashi explains that it's better to remove the tuma quickly, even though this will make the sash, which is kadosh, tameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, but tzva shel eit shelo rabas is the tuma. He must remove it with wooden tongs so as not to increase the tuma. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the main consideration is to contain the tuma. Therefore, it's better to take time to find wooden tongs to remove the sheretz because a wooden utensil without a receptacle is not makabel tuma. Daf Kuf Hei. So the Simur Daf Kuf Hei is a hacker, and we use a Russian hacker. So here goes. The Russian hacker. Russian hacker. That must mean we're on Daf Kuf Hei. The Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, HaKol nichnasim behechol ivnos l'sakin l'hotzi asatuma. Anyone may enter the heichol to build, to make repairs, and to remove tuma, a mitzvah b'kohanim. But preferably, kohanim should do these tasks. Im ein sham kohanim nichnasim levim. If there are no kohanim, then even levim may enter. Ein sham levim nichnasim yisraelim. And if there are no levim, then even yisraelim may enter. The Gemara infers, tohorim im tamein lo. Tahor people may enter, but tamei people should not. Therefore, a tahor yisrael is better than a tamei kohen. Rav Huna said that Rav Kahana helped the kohanim, for he had a brisa, the taught, that a tamei kohen is better than a tahor yisrael. Mitzvah b'tamimim, it's preferable that unblemished kohanim enter to perform repairs. Im ein sham tamimim nichnasim balimumim. If there are no unblemished kohanim, then even blemished kohanim should enter. Mitzvah b'tahorim, it's a mitzvah that tahor kohanim enter to do repairs. Ein sham tahorim nichnasim tameim. If there are no tahor kohanim, then even tamei kohanim may enter. The Gemara infers that since the Braisa didn't mention Yisraelim, kohanim im Yisraelim well, kohanim may enter, but Yisraelim may not. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a tamei kohen versus a kohen balmum, which reminds us, the Gemara inquired, Tamei ubalmum ezemhen nichnas. If only a tamei kohen and a blemish kohen are available, which one should enter the heichol to do repairs? Rav Chiya bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Tamei nichnas da ha'ishtrei b'avodat tzibur. The tamei kohen should enter since he's permitted to perform communing the karbonis when the majority of kohanim are tamei, whereas a balmum may never bring a carbon. Balazar said, Bal mum niknas, da ishtrei b'achil's kadshim. The Bal mum should enter, for he can eat from karbanas, whereas a tamikon may not eat from them. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a tamikon versus a kohen Bal mum. And then it suddenly became dark as he sat 50 namas away from the city's tchum. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon said, Makam she'atiru l'cho chachamim, mishalcha nasnu l'cha. Where the chachamim granted you a dispensation, they merely gave you what is rightfully yours. The Gemara asked what Rabbi Shimon was referring to, and answers that he was referring back to the ruling he gave in the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis regarding one who's overtaken by darkness while he's still outside the tchum of his destination. Rabbi Shimon said, Afil chamish yisrei amma yikanes. Even if he's 15 ammas away from the city's tchum boundary, he may enter. Lafisha ena mashochos mematinus amidos mifnei atoim. For the surveyors who place the markers to delineate the city's tchum do not give full measure because of those who err. Rabbi Shimon's clarifying that this isn't a leniency in the restriction of tchum, but rather we're allowing him to use what is rightfully his anyway, since those extra 15 ammas are actually within 2,000 ammas of the city. So the Simfer Dab base is a bias, is a house. Here goes. The house, that must mean we're on Daf Beis. The house was filled with people searching for chametz with candles, which reminds us. The opening mission of the Masechta begins, Or la'abas are bot k'nus ha'chametz or aner. The night of the 14th of Nisan, we search for the chametz by the light of a candle. Rashi explains that the bidika is done so one does not transgress the prohibitions of bal yira or bal yamatzah. You may not see chametz in your possession, and you may not find chametz in your possession. The Gemara begins by asking, my or, what is the meaning of or? Rav Huna says, Nage, it means light, which the Gemara presently understands to mean daytime. And Rav Yudah says, Leila, it means night. Rashi explains that according to Rav Huna, one would begin the Bedika when it begins to get light in the morning of the 14th. A candle is used because the sky is mostly dark at that time. The Gemara poses several challenges to each position. So the house is filled with people searching for chametz with candles, as the light of the stars shone brightly, which reminds us the Gemara challenged Rav Huna from the Pasuk, Ha'u kokoch ve'or, praise him all the stars of or. This apparently means all the stars which appear at night, and therefore we see that or means night. The Gemara answers the pasuk means halu kol kochavim ha-me'irim, praise him all the stars that give light. The Gemara asks that even the stars that do not give light should praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and explains that really all the stars do give light. Rather, the pasuk means to teach the or kochavim nami orhu, that the light of the stars is also called or. This is relevant in regard to if someone made a neder not to benefit from or, it would be forbidden to him to benefit from the light of the stars. So the house was filled with people searching for chametz with candles, as the light of the stars shone brightly, over a king that danced joyously outside. Which reminds us, the Gemara challenged Rabbi Yehuda from the Pasuk, V'omer achoshek yushufeini, v'layla or ba'adeini. I had said, only darkness will shadow me, but the night became or around me. Rashi explains that David HaMelech thought that he would die in the darkness of his troubles, but then night became day for him, and his troubles disappeared. Since or is contrasted with night, it seemingly means day. The Gemara answers that what David HaMelech meant was, Ani amarti achoshek yushufeini lom haba. I had said, only darkness would shadow me in the world to come, shehu domu l'yom, which is analogous to day. Aksha b'olam hazeh, shehu domu l'layla or ba'adeini. But now, even in this world, which is analogous to night, has become light around me. Rashi explains that David expected it would be dark for him in olam haba because of his sin with Bathsheba. In the end, even olam hazeh became light for him, when it was shown that he was forgiven in front of his detractors when the doors of the Beis HaMikdash would not open until Shlomo Melch mentioned that they should open in the merit of David. Therefore, the meaning of the word or here does not mean day, but rather light. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is camels. So here goes. The camel ride. Camels? That must mean Ron Daf Gimel. The camel ride trip to the Not Tahor Animal Zoo, which reminds us, after bringing a brace from the Academy of Shmuel, which used the word lele for night, the Gemara asks where our Tana didn't use the word lele as well. The Gemara answers, Lishma al Yehudanaket. The Tana used a refined expression, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Lolom al Yotzi Adam Davar Magunim Afiv. A person should never emit a coarse expression from his mouth, for we see that the Torah deviated by adding eight letters so as not to express a Davar Maguna, as it says in the Pasuk, Mina Behema Tahora, Umina Behema Asher Enena Tahora, from the animals that are Tahor and from the animals that are not Tahor. By writing that are not Tahor rather than just Tameh, the Torah demonstrates the importance of refined speech. Rashi explains that the Gemara doesn't mean that the word night is coarse, but rather just as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that one should not use a coarse expression, So too, our Tani uses the word or, which is a nice way of saying the word night. So the camel ride in the Nat Tahor Animal Zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them Tame, which reminds us, after the Gemara recorded a number of instances in which the Torah avoided using the word Tame, the Gemara asks, Ubaraisim Nigul Ksiv Tame, and is the word Tame not written in the Torah? The Gemara answers that wherever the coarse expression and its more refined substitute are equal in length, Mishtoi Bolash Nekiah, the Torah uses the more refined expression, and wherever the more refined expression is longer, Mishtoi Bolash Katar, the Torah uses the more concise expression. This is in accordance with that which was said in the name of Rav, and some say the Rav said it in the name of Rabbi Meir, Lolom Yeshana Adam Talmido Der Katsara, a person should always teach his Talmud in a concise manner. So the camel ride trip in the Nat Tahor Animal Zoo, with the Rebbe who concisely called them Tame, was a great success, except for the kid who complained the box lunch they gave him looked like a lizard's tail. Which reminds us that the Gemara brings a number of incidents to demonstrate the importance of using refined language. There were three Kohanim who each received a share of the lechem upon him. One said he received a portion the size of a bean. The second one said he received a portion the size of a kazai. So the third one said he received a portion the size of a lizard's tail. They investigated the yichus of the third one and found a shemetz psul, a psul in his yichus. The Gemara asks how an acting kohen can be investigated if he's unfit, since Kohanim are checked for disqualifications in the yichus before they serve, and offers two reasons. One answer is to say, instead, shachetz psul, meaning that he displayed some disqualifying arrogance. Since he disparaged the offerings when he spoke, he's unfit to serve. The second answer is that here his lineage was checked again because he had compromised himself. Rashi explains that the way that he spoke indicated that he had not been checked out properly in the first place, and therefore a new investigation was required. All right, now it's time for a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechus Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which daf do we have the incident where Cohen's coarse expression led to the discovery of a psul in his yichus? That's on daf Gimel Masechim. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have the Rabbi Shimon was referring to the case of a person who was 15 amos outside the tchum when it gets dark, when he said that the Rabbanon are giving the person what is rightfully his? That's on daf Kuf Hei and Erevan. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we have the David HaMelech felt the night of Olam Hazeh turned light when the Kadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated that he was forgiven? That's on daf Beis Masechim. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that a kohen is permitted to replace a bandage with dressing after doing the avoda? That's on daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that the Torah goes out of its way to use a refined expression, even though this means adding letters to the Torah? That's on daf Gimel Masechim. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that the kohen who wounds his finger may wrap it with reed grass on Shabbos in the base of Mikdash? That's on daf Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that if someone took a netter not to benefit from light, they would not be allowed to get hanah from starlight? That's on daf Beis Masechim. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that the bedikah is the night of the 14th because people are generally home and a candle is effective for the bedikah? That's on daf Dalet Masechim. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that people speak according to the shevet they belong to? That's on daf Dalet Masechim. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that a Rebbe should teach his Talmud B'Lashon Katsara in a concise language? That's on daf Gimel Masechim. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn the conditions for Chazara? That's on daf Lamed Ches and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the number of candles that are lit on Hanukkah? That's on daf Chaf Gimel and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which daf do we learn if the text of the bracha for Hamotzi is Hamotzi or Motzi? That's on daf Lamed Ches and Brachos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.